WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:04, it's partly cloudy and 20 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly sunny skies this afternoon, a high around 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In Southwest Iowa news, officials say the levee near Percival that failed in this past summer's Missouri River flooding will undergo temporary repairs but will remain vulnerable to severe flooding next year. According to reports, damage to the levy is about $120 million, but only $10 million has been received to fix it. Pat Sheldon of the local levy district says it's going to take time to clear legal hurdles and ensure the work is done right. Kim Thomas of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said the Percival levy is a top priority, but money is limited. The agency says the levy will be repaired to handle a 25-year flood by March the 1st, but it'll take a year or more to restore it to the way it was before the flooding. News time is 8:05.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
While the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is promising to focus more on flood prevention, many western Iowans are still questioning how that will be accomplished after the summer-long flooding of the Missouri River. Jody Farhat, head of the Corps' Water Control Office in Omaha, said she's heard from plenty of worried folks up and down the river.
People are very concerned about, you know, potential flooding again next year, so we're committing to take a more flexible approach to our releases during the fall and the winter and into the spring.
Levees and dams along the waterway were weakened by the months of flooding, and repairs on them are still underway. Farhat says the plan is to draw down upriver reservoir levels before the warm weather of 2012 arrives.
We'll get as much water out of the system as the weather permits, and that we can pass safely without impacting the repairs that are going on. You know, the dams and the levees are our number one line of defense, and we don't want to interfere with any of that important work that's going on.
Reservoirs upstream were inundated by heavy rains and record runoff from snowmelt, forcing the Corps to release water at such velocity that Missouri River levels were raised for the entire summer. Farhat says they're working to plan ahead by dropping reservoir levels now.
It's not a specific amount. You know, we'll base it on the current information and also on what we're able to get out. You know, when we get to this time of year, it really depends a lot on the weather, and it also depends on where the runoff comes in. So we'll monitor that closely, and hopefully we'll be able to move some additional water out.
Farhat says the Corps will continue with aggressive flows from the dams for the next few months.
We don't want to cause ice jam flooding this winter just to provide some relief in case it's a wet year next year. You know, so it's a balancing the very real impacts of pushing extra water through the winter with, you know, that reduced risk of flooding next year.
Releases from Gavin's Point Dam at Yankton on the South Dakota-Nebraska border continue at 40,000 cubic feet per second. That's well above the long-term normal for this time of year. Releases this summer topped 160,000 cubic feet per second, or more than a million gallons per second. The Union County Sheriff's Department is investigating a reported armed robbery. The incident was said to have occurred at around 1:30 p.m. Sunday at 120th and Beechwood Avenue, or about 5 miles southwest of Orient. Authorities say Ronnie Gilbert of Corning said he was robbed at gunpoint by an unknown male suspect in a tan Chevrolet or GMC pickup. An undisclosed amount of money was taken. Anyone with information regarding that incident is asked to contact the Union County Law Enforcement Center at area code 641-782-8402. Atlantic Police reported yesterday that 43-year-old Dana Cesar of Atlantic was arrested Monday. Cesar was booked into the Cass County Jail for driving under suspension and non-payment of Iowa fines. A former federal credit union official who embezzled $33,000 is asking a judge to show leniency. Ann Kelly, former treasurer secretary of the American Federation of Government Employees in Council Bluffs, has pleaded guilty to one count of wire fraud. The retired federal railroad inspector used union funds between 2002 and 2007 to make payments to personal credit cards and write checks to family members. The charge carries up to 20 years in prison, but Kelly's attorney is asking a judge to impose a term of probation during her sentencing today in Des Moines. Her attorney says Kelly's theft was motivated to help her family out of financial crisis that included her son having cancer and her husband having business failures. He says Kelly cashed out her retirement savings to repay the money. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seifert said yesterday that residents of Erling, Panama, Portsmouth, and Westphalia should be aware that 1380th Street is currently closed for a bridge replacement project that's expected to last about 3 weeks. The bridge is located over an unnamed tributary of the Mosquito Creek, just west of Highway 191, between Elmwood Road and Highway 191. Seifert said the bridge will be replaced with a culvert, and any area residents who has questions about the project can call the Shelby County Engineer's Office at 712-755-5954. And finally, in Southwest Iowa news, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said Green Valley State Park near Creston will be closed this weekend, November 19th and 20th, for its annual special deer hunt. Green Valley will reopen to the public on November 21st. The Green Valley State Park deer hunt is limited to 30 hunters using only muzzle loaders to harvest up to 60 antlerless deer. The hunters have already registered and will receive two antlerless tags each, redeemable only during the special hunt at the designated areas and specified dates. Additional DNR staff will be on hand to patrol the park boundaries during the event. Alan Carr, park ranger at Green Valley, says the hunt helps to manage the deer population, and they've had 7 successful hunts and expect this hunt will go as well as the previous ones. Hunters have been allowed to harvest up to 60 antlerless deer. The average harvest for the past 7 years has been just over 40. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, consumers have been paying less for gas, cars, and computers, and the government reports that prices dropped overall. The Labor Department says the Consumer Price Index dropped 0.1% last month, the first decline since June. Inflation is easing after prices rose sharply this spring. And Facebook says its users should remain vigilant to keep their accounts from being hijacked. A recent wave of spam flooded users' pages with graphic pictures. Facebook in Germany said users were tricked into pasting and executing malicious JavaScript into their browser URL bar. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in our funeral announcements, Beatrice Suplee of Anita died Friday at the Colonial Manor. A memorial service for 92-year-old Beatrice Suplee will be today at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. John Venick, age 95, formerly of Manila, died November 7th in Missouri. Funeral services for John Venick will be today at 10:30 at the United Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Ramona Mona Peterson, age 83, of Harlan, died Sunday. Massive Christian burial service for Mona Peterson will be this morning at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. George Raub, age 87, formerly of Audubon, died October 27th in Arizona. Celebration of Life memorial services for George Raub will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Devonna Sackett, age 84, of Fontenelle, died Sunday. Funeral services for Devonna Sackett will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Fairview Congregational Christian Church in rural Stewart, with Esteem Funeral Home of Greenfield in charge of arrangements. Mary Geezer, age 79, of Harlan, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Geezer will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Don B. Thomas, age 93, of Council Bluffs, a former pastor and overseer with the Church of God of Prophecy in many states, including Iowa, died November 14th. Funeral services for Don Thomas will be held on Friday at 10 a.m. at the Hoy Kilnoski Funeral Home in Council Bluffs. Doris Gipple, age 91, of Bridgewater, died Monday. A celebration of life service for Doris Gipple will be Friday at 11 a.m. at Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Marcus Frank Gross Sr., age 95, of Harlan, died Monday. A massive Christian burial service for Marcus Gross Sr. will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Daniel J. Page, age 61, of New Virginia, died October 23rd. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Daniel Page will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Roland Raleigh Ackerman, age 97, of Sandpoint, Idaho, died Monday. Services for Raleigh Ackerman will be held at a later date with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Melvin Snyder, age 78, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A private family burial of cremains for Melvin Snyder will be held at the Quincy Cemetery near Carbon. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Timothy Tim Tye, age 54, of Atlantic and formerly of Griswold, died Sunday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Tim Tye are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Paul D. Hokenstad, age 72, of Griswold, died Tuesday. Services for Paul Hokenstad are currently pending in Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And Lois Roberts, age 86, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday in Algona. Services for Lois Roberts are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.